This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Turn to Isaiah chapter number 53. My grandfather often tells a story about two men that went to different churches. One of them had never been before, and he told him, he said, when you go to church, you know, and if you don't understand something, just ask me and I'll try to explain it to you. So they went to a church of Christ, and people started talking in tongues and all of that, and he explained to me, you know, it's the Spirit and speaking through the Spirit. And then they went to a Catholic church and they started doing all that stuff that they do. And he said, what does that mean? He said, well, my head hurts, my stomach hurts, can't find my cigarettes. So they went to a Baptist church and the preacher got up there and laid the watch down on the pulpit. And he said, what does that mean? He said, that don't mean a thing right there. You just don't pay attention to that. So they said about 20 minutes. I don't know if we'll make it 10, so we'll try. In verse number 3 of Isaiah chapter number 53, it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I'd like to preach on this thought, it wasn't the bruises. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today, Father, Lord, you know my heart, and you know I need your help, Father. I'm not equipped, God, I don't have the knowledge, Lord, but I pray that you just use me as a mouthpiece to bring your word, Father. I pray that it'll be a blessing to somebody in here today. Lord, if there's anybody here that don't understand what you went through on the cross, Father, I pray that this will just touch them. God, if there's anybody here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you just prick their hearts with conviction and arrest their hearts with salvation. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A lot of times, you know, I notice, especially down from where I'm from, we come to church, and it almost seems like church is just a tradition. It's something we do Sunday in and Sunday out, and we come in and we sing Amazing Grace 1,000 times, and it just becomes something that we do. But if you think about the meaning behind it, you'll get a blessing from it. And then we talk about what Jesus did on the cross, and it's something that we've talked about all of our lives, and it don't really touch us. But we really need to get back to the basics of what Jesus Christ really did for us. The cross was not a pretty place. I see people with tattoos, and it's always kind of bothered me. Not that they have tattoos necessarily, and I'm not here to preach on that, but the fact that they'll get a cross and they'll put all these banners and all these pretty designs on it and all these initials of other people, and that's all fine and dandy, but listen, the cross was not a pretty place. The cross was gory. The cross was bloody, and our Savior took it for us. He went voluntarily. And he went voluntarily. I thought about as he went to the cross, starting in the garden, he was thinking about you and I. And then I thought about how as he was going to the cross and they was whipping him and they was spitting upon him and mocking him, how he was thinking about each and every one of us. I was studying last night, and Brother Kyle, I've become close to him since I came here, probably closer to anybody, but it would be very hard for me to crawl up on a cross and die for you. I mean, I love you, I really do, but I don't like needles, y'all. That's one of my biggest fears. You take me to a scary house, or you pull out a needle, and you're going to see a white boy get gone. I often ride down the road, and I'll press my hand to remind me what Jesus really did for me, but that does no justice to what actually happened. Several months ago, I went to the dentist, and they told me that I was going to have a feeling and possibly a wisdom tooth cut out. I said, that's fine. I said, but when I get here, you have that gas ready for me and make sure it's working that day. I take advantage of it. I don't like needles. Everything else is fine, but I do not like needles. But to think about what Jesus did on the cross for us, I don't think our mind can really comprehend how bloody and how gory it was that day. I was studying last night, and I was watching different videos, one being from the Passion of the Christ, and there's much controversy, and I'm not here for that, but they talked about the nails going through his hands. And then some people say that they went through the wrist because you cannot, the weight of the body will not support it through the hand because there's no really bones there. It's only just a couple bones. But if you go through the wrist, it can actually hold the weight. And then I thought about how when they whipped him, and each and every time with that cat of nine tails, when they whipped him, it would pull chunks of flesh out. It would pull chunks of muscle and meat and all that goes along with that. And how he did all of that for us. And they talked about how when he was on the cross, they said that they would go up and down trying to relieve from their feet and then relieve from their hands. And how every time they would go up and down from his back on that cross, it would open up each and every one of those wounds even more. And it would just place splinters in there. And it was so rough that it opened up those gashes that had already been done. And then they talked about the crown of thorns that was on his head. And as I thought about that, you know, I thought about the seven sayings that was on the cross. And one of the times when he was on the cross and the thief was beside him, how, you know, he began to talk to him. And I thought about how even through that, he had to go through pain because he had that crown of thorns on. And I would imagine when he looked this way, it would press up against the cross and even go deeper into his skull. The cross was not a pretty place. I believe it was so bad that even the angels cried out for him. As a matter of fact, I thought about that song that Becky and CT just came out with. Angels Sit Down is the name of the song. I wrote down some of the lyrics to it. What a sad time in heaven, the angels gathered around the throne. They couldn't stand to watch Jesus dying all alone. It broke their hearts to see the blood that he shed. They were all prepared to fly, but God turned to them and said, Angels, sit down. He's not going to call. He's saving the world, becoming sin for them all. I know that you can save him, but he's not the one in need. Angels, sit down and let him set the captives free. As I said, the cross was not a pretty place, but I'm thankful he went for me. I'm thankful for a blood that can save and the stripes that can heal. Mama has always told me, and I never really understood it, and I kind of do, but I kind of don't, about how people get those tattoos of a cross. And then she said, well, if you died in an electric chair, I'm not going to get an electric chair tattooed on my arm. And I understand that to an extent, but then, which I'm not going to get no tattoo, I'll just tell you, like I said, I'm afraid of needles. It ain't happening. But the cross, I just can't wrap my mind around how bad the cross actually was. Even while he was on the cross, I mentioned those seven sayings, there was love wrapped around each and every one of those, even while he was on the cross. One of the things he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he was on the cross, through all of that torture and all of that torment that he was going, each and every spitting on his face and each and every stripe that he took, he still had love. And let me remind you, he was God, but he was still man. He was God wrapped up in man. He was full man. But as he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he prayed for his friends. Then we said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that moment, from 12 o'clock till about 3 o'clock, I believe it was, he was bearing the sins of the whole world, all the past, all the present, and all the future. He was bearing the sins of all eternity. If he just bore mine, that would be a lot to deal with. But to think about even the people in ISIS, those sins, and each and every person throughout all of eternity being wrapped up in one body, you can only imagine what was going on inside that. For 3 hours, the earth became dark. He bore our sins. And here's what gets me, was they had so close of a relationship, but God had to turn his back on Jesus for those 3 hours because of the sin that he was bearing. And that's why Jesus cried out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? It wasn't anything but a cry of distress because of the sins that was going on through his body. Remember me this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. When the thief was on the cross, there wasn't a tank up there to dip him and baptize him, or, you know, there wasn't some kind of sprinkling system up there to cleanse him of his sins. All it had to do was speak a word from Jesus. All he had to do was ask him, Father, remember me when you come and into thy kingdom. And as I said a minute ago, I believe as he turned to look at that thief, those thorns just pushed into his head a little bit more. And there was pain. You can't imagine the pain that went on in the cross. The fourth thing that I noticed about the seven sayings of the cross, it says, Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He loved his mother so much that he told somebody to look after her after he died. The fifth thing says, I thirst. Jesus thirsted on the cross, but when they took the sponge up to him, it was mingled with things. And they say that he did not take it because it was mingled with something that maybe would have numbed his body. And he did not take it because he wanted the full punishment on the cross. Because people would have, you know, fought it and all that stuff about, you know, if he had this in him, he wasn't really dying for us and all that. But he did not take it because he wanted the full punishment for you and I. The sixth thing says, it is finished. I'm glad that when Jesus died on the cross, and once we kneel on an altar somewhere and we ask him to come into our heart, it's finished. Now, that don't give us an excuse to run and live however we want to, because if you get Jesus in your heart, you're going to want to do something for him because of what he did for us. He went there so that we could go to heaven to be with him. So we're not supposed to just live however we want to live. And then it says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So, you know, I said it wasn't the bruises that killed him. But so what was it? It was simply love for you and I. In John 15, chapter number 15, verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In John chapter number 10, verse number 18, I love this right here. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See, you and I, we have the power to lay our life down. We can take a 44 Magnum. We can run off in a ditch. We can do all of those things to take our life, but we cannot take it again. I'm glad that when Jesus laid his life down, that he had the power to go to the grave. And then on that third day, he had the power to take it up again for assurance. It said, you know, the Bible talks about without the assurance of the resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. I'm thankful that we serve a risen Father. We're not serving Muhammad. I got in a fight one time, not really a fight, but we was headed to Florida on a storm. I build power lines for a living. And I was sitting there watching this news thing that came on the TV. And this man came over there to me, and he started mumbling, and I couldn't understand a word he was saying, so I just said, yep, yep, yep. But it was about this terrorist that had got taken out of prison, and they was fixing to give him a job, and they was wondering if they could trust him. But anyways, this man, after I had sit down and started eating my hamburger, it started registering in my mind what he was saying. He said, all these Christians are against Muslims and all that. He said, I don't know why. He said, their God is fake. And as I thought about that, I didn't even get to finish my fries. I didn't finish my drink. I laid my hamburger down, and I went over there and talked to him. I said, sir, did you really tell me that Jesus and God is fake? How can you believe? How can you look across the earth and see all that he's done? You know, two dust clouds didn't just clash together, and some little living organism in a mud hole was slashed by lightning, and all this just pops up and happens. I said, how can you tell me that Jesus Christ is not fake? He said, well, Jesus ain't fake. I don't know why I said that. He said, I love Jesus more than you do. I thought, you must have some kind of individual, invisible friend. I don't know what you're trying to tell me, but Jesus is not fake. He kept saying, I love Jesus more than, I said, how do you love Jesus more than I do if you're saying he's fake? I said, you're not making no sense, man. He said, well, do you know where you're going if you die? I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, well, you don't have Abraham and you don't have Muhammad and all this. I said, buddy, you need to read John 14:6. It says, I am the way, I am the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I said, I'm not worried about Abraham. I'm not worried about Muhammad. I said, I remember the day when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. He's not in a tomb somewhere, and he's not wrapped up in grave clothes, but he's alive and well, sitting right beside the Father. I was watching videos today about the troops that come back to their families and how joy and how happy those families are. And to be honest with you, they'll bring tears to your eyes. And I thought about that and how, whether it be by death or by the rapture, there's coming a day when the saved people get to see Jesus Christ. And I can only think about how as we're running to him or walking to him, like the old song says, I can only imagine what it's going to be like. But I could just picture me walking toward him and he holding those nail-scarred hands out. And I thought about, I don't know if he'll let me touch him or not, but I just want to touch him and tell him thank you and give him a hug or whatever I can do just to try to tell him thank you face to face. I can only imagine what it's going to be like in that day. When I get there, they got this song about, I want to live on the outskirts of heaven. You can have your cabin on the outskirts of heaven if you want it. But I've been separated too long. I want to have me a tent right beside the throne. They talk about these mansions and all that, and that would be fine and dandy. But I would just be satisfied with a tent right beside the throne. They say, well, all these other people is going to have a mansion, and you'll get jealous. Well, the Bible tells me there's not going to be any jealousy or sorrows or tears in heaven, so I wouldn't know the difference. I just want to be right there where Jesus is at. I've been separated way too long. There was a man that took beatings. There was a man that took stripes. There was a man that got nails, drove through his hand, through his feet, got a spear in his side, and he did that all for me. And I want to stay as close to him as I can when I get there. It wasn't the bruises that laid Jesus' life down. It was simply love for you and I. Dear Heavenly Father, I've done my best to share the word that you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that it'll be a blessing to somebody. I pray that it'll touch somebody's heart and help them to be thankful for what you did for them and myself. God, I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for the cross, but I'm even more thankful that you're alive and well today. And I'm thankful that someday I'll get to see you again. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for what you've done and who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.